The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Our guest today in the studio, Clark Ramsey, the genial host of the Harbor Beach Game Show series, now in its ninth year, coming up a little later this month. We are into May already, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the game show and the tickets that go on sale starting at 5 o'clock this afternoon online. Thanks for being with us.
Well, Craig, it's always a pleasure to be here with you, and thanks for having me on What Do You Think?
It is the ninth year, and you sell the place out.
Yeah, it's really grown over the years. It's hard to believe that this is year number nine already. When we're talking about next year, we go into our second decade.
If I'd have known that before the show, I'd have had Beatles Revolution number nine going on in the background. Number nine.
Well, I appreciate the enthusiasm, Craig. But no, so the show it's fast approaching. We're just 10 days away now. So May 11th is show day, and today is the big day for tickets. We're doing a big push right now. Tickets go on sale tonight at 5 p.m. at hbgameshow.com. Just click on the tickets tab and you can buy your tickets. And like you said, we sold out last year. We've sold out before, but last year was a true, absolutely every seat filled sellout event last year. So we sold out about 5 days ahead of showtime last year.
Now, the sale of the tickets, is that something you purchase with the credit card online, or is that something you pay for when you get to the door and you've got the voucher that you're able to get in because you reserved the ticket? I mean, I'm just
everything.
How that goes.
Everything's online, so we credit card and debit card only online, or whatever. If you want to use PayPal, whatever, they have all the capabilities on the site there. So all ticket sales are online. So no cash is accepted, just for the ease of use. So that automatically goes into the fundraising pot, and then we spread out those out to our nonprofits.
And you will get like an e-ticket that you
yes.
will print out and bring the night of, and that shows that you had indeed paid your
correct
your entry fee.
Yes, so you will buy the tickets online, and at that point, you will receive an email. You know, you get a confirmation, and then you'll receive an email to the email that you type in, and it will have a PDF attachment to it, and it has all of your tickets in there. You can either print those out, or you can just have them on your phone.
And we show them your phone as you're going
and
in.
And we will scan you as accordingly. And on top of that even.
It's painful, but.
Okay. It's fun. It makes it very easy, actually. Last year was the fastest we were able to process people through because of the system. So you can either scan it on your phone or have them print it off. And even on top of that, you're able to input everyone's names into the ticket actual information. So if Craig, you're coming with John and Sue, then you're able to type in John and Sue's names as well, and everything's personalized. So when you walk through the door, we know who you are, we know who's in our audience, and so we can make the show go that much better.
Sometimes, especially if you have sellout crowds every year, is there a limit on the number of tickets you can purchase at one time? Because the families are going, you know, they say, well, I'll get grandma's, I'll get, you know, Aunt Sue's and everybody else's while I'm online. And you get to the point and it says, you know, you can only get to four or five at a time. Is there a limit on that?
There technically is a limit. I think it's like 30. So
So basically you can bring a bus.
You can bring a bus if you'd like. Just let us know ahead of time so we can get appropriate parking for you. But yeah, there's really no limit. We're keeping our eye out for scalpers, you know, that second market for tickets. We're not worried about it at all. But it's so
you mean people standing in the front lines there by the theater going, "Hey, I got a deal for you. Hey, you want some tickets? I got it here. I'll send the email to your phone."
We've talked about hiring people to act like scalpers just to give the show a little bit more street cred, sake, but we haven't had to deal with that yet. You know, last year was a big step for us. Before that, we always did tickets only at the door, and it was a little bit, it wasn't nightmarish, but people started lining up about 1 p.m. that afternoon for a 7 o'clock show just to make sure that they had the best seats and actually a ticket. You know, we sold out before that, so we've never turned away anyone before going on to online, but online ticket sales made everything so much easier. Reserve your section. Not your individual seat, but it allows people to make their plans. Like, okay, I know that I can go to dinner and I still have a main floor seat, or I know I have a balcony seat. So it made provided a lot more peace of mind for a lot of our showgoers.
And that everybody's going to be together.
Yes.
And you didn't buy tickets and half of you are on one side and half of you are on the other, and you're like going, hi over there, hi over there, and the game show is like, do you want us to stop for you or not?
It's a friendly crowd, so regardless if you're sitting with your friends or family, it doesn't matter, because you will be by the end of the show. But yeah, 450 people packed the theater last year, and backed by popular demand, we talked about swapping out a show, Press Your Luck, last year. This will be our third year for Press Your Luck, which normally we like to push things through 2 years at a time. But the overwhelming response from the general public was, if you get rid of Press Your Luck, I'm going to be upset. And so that's credit to the people involved in the actual Press Your Luck, the Whammies and everyone else involved. It has made it a smashing success. A lot of fun. It's interactive. The crowd can yell. They can shout. They can laugh. There's humor built into the show. So it's made it a very good product.
And the people love the live-action Whammies.
Yeah. So if you recall Press Your Luck from the 1980s, we had a little cartoon red Whammy that came on the screen and did some sort of act. We said, well, there's really no way. Well, we have the capabilities to do that, but we said, let's make them life. So we made the Whammies full-size people, and that's perhaps the best part of the show. And I have nothing to do with that part, and for whatever reason, that's the part that goes over the best.
You didn't get a bunch of ladies dressed up and do the Whamettes?
Well, that's, you know, if we go season fourth year with it, that's not a bad idea, Craig. We might have to add you to our writing crew here soon, but the Whamettes. No, we've always talked about, you know, so there's the Clark's Cuties every year, but we've always talked about adding the Clark's Cougars, you know, as well. So we're talking about expanding that in the future. We're always trying to reinvent ourselves. We never want to have the audience show up and say, oh, this again. We're always trying to keep it fresh. It's the same games as last year, but that's about the only thing that's the same. New jokes, new questions, new skits, new concepts. The backstage is completely overhauled. It's a brand new show.
And that's the one thing that is an advantage doing it a second year or maybe even a third for it, is these are high-tech props and backgrounds.
Yes.
And after the third year, you've smoothed the Whammies out.
Yes. Yeah, we've had good luck with Press Your Luck. This very set in stone ways, and luckily Andrew Bauer, our control systems engineer, does all the coding for that and makes everything smooth, and we do all of our system checks and stuff. So that's been working very well over the past 2 years. And then we took that technology and we expanded it to cover Hollywood Squares. So we really pushed our parameters of our capabilities last year to go from just three contestant stands with that technology to now the three contestant stands plus nine squares for the Hollywood Squares. So we're talking, you know, 16 feet, over 16 feet of controllable, addressable LED lighting in every single square. So times that by nine, there's a ton of electronics, ton of Cat 6 cable running all this stuff. The screens are automated. Everything runs off one computer.
The screens are not all the same. They're different, so each one has an individual control, and somebody has to be able to figure out what to put on there. I know it's just X's and O's.
Oh, but it's crazy.
But you've got who's got how many dollars and their names and all other kind of stuff that you put on the other stuff, so it's like,
yeah. Yeah, when we were talking about developing this show, the process starts back in September the previous year, typically, is how we do it. And we say, all right, what do we want to do? What would be awesome to do for the next year? And we always shoot way too high. But when we shoot way too high, we surprisingly end fairly close to that end goal, and then we start to work backwards. And if we can check off all the boxes and we can hurdle all of the roadblocks and potholes and everything else, because, you know, this is Michigan, if we can figure out a way that we can get from point A to the finish line, then we greenlight the process. And here we are with Hollywood Squares again for the second year. The set last year, we built that whole set starting in early April, so it took over a month to build. And this whole time we're like, yeah, I think this will work. So then Thursday night before the show, we actually put the set together on the stage, and it worked, and it was magnificent. And it's the photos and videos don't do it justice for how huge this thing is. I mean, the top row is literally, they can touch the top of the curtain. You know, we use every single square inch of that stage at the Harbor Beach Community Theater, and it's a great time.
Well, they may have to bend over to get into the cube, but you'd have to be three stacked high, and that takes a bit of doing in a small community theater.
Well, and that's the thing. The Harbor Beach Community Theater, one, the staff there is unbelievable. They, any question or anything that we ask them, they're able to respond. The staff there, the custodians, the engineers, everyone does an awesome job over there. But really, the Harbor Beach Community Theater is literally the only theater in the entire thumb that we'd be able to do the show in. It's the tallest stage. It's the widest stage. The lighting, it works there. You know, it takes certain things for the spotlights to be able to hit. All those things come together, and it's a perfect storm with what we're able to do for the Harbor Beach Game Show Series. And we push every single parameter and every possible, we squeeze every possible horsepower out of that theater for the show. It's awesome.
Does the theater give you a little breakdown of how much extra electricity you use that night as opposed to a normal night of showing regular movies?
I think the concession sales make up for that and then some. But with LEDs, you know, we're actually not pulling that much power anymore. Back in the day, oh yeah, when we were doing a match game and we had, let's see, 3 times 18 incandescent light bulbs running at all times on that set alone, plus everything else, that got a little warm, got a little hot, and I think the meter started spinning a little bit faster, but it's...
Everyone was going, what's that hum?
We haven't set off the fire alarms during the show in, I think, 3 years now, so that is, you know, knock on wood that continues into the future, but after 9 years, we're slowly starting to figure out how to do this show.
Now, obviously you arranged for the people who are going to be the celebrities on Hollywood Squares and such. How do you pick the contestants?
So we use the same algorithms as CBS Television City to select our contestants, and it's complete
pictures in a dartboard.
Pretty much. No, it's everyone comes in, and that's the beauty of the capabilities of the online ticket sales. We have all the names automatically when they're coming through the door, so it speeds up that process as well. Because before, everyone had to sign in. They'd make, are you one? Do you want a contestant? And all these other things. We have all that information already. And so then we're able to put that into an algorithm, and then the computer spits out the 10 names that we need for contestants, and those are the 10 we go with.
So I always thought the contestants in some of those game shows, they had interviewers out in the line, just kind of talking, seeing who's, you know, not going to get up there and get all scared and worried, and those will be a little more active and vibrant, because that's part of the game show fun, is that the contestants are... Woohoo!
Yeah, the contestants would be great, and luckily we've always lucked out with that. We've always had great contestants, and
well, it's a hometown crowd.
It's a hometown crowd, even if they are a shy contestant, we can have fun with that still. It takes every type of character and every personality to make the show run, and that even goes to the testament of the contestants. And so it all comes together, and really, you could be the most shy person in the world for Hollywood Squares, because the contestant is really about secondary to the entire show. The whole thing's about around the celebrities, and all the contestant says is I agree or I disagree, and they can walk out with $350 because of that. So it's the contestants can walk out with cold hard cash. They're selected by random through the algorithms, through the randomization of the computers, and it all works seamlessly every year.
And the computers by nature will know who's an adult and who's, you know, not. You're not going to pick a child to come up there. It's going to let you know that, you know, it's somebody who can play the game.
For legality purposes, we require that all contestants are 18 years old. That's really the only requirement that we have for the entire show. But
I've seen Hollywood Squares. They better be 18-year-old or some of the responses.
all the humor of the show, yes, there might be some innuendos. It's aimed at an adult crowd, but it's written in a way that if there are children in the audience, they're not going to be offended by or anything of that sort or find it inappropriate. But there is adult humor, and we ask that, you know, it is intended for an adult audience, is all we say. So we don't require or don't allow children, but it is preferred if everyone is an adult in the audience. So Hollywood Squares is the anchor for this year's show. We've got 9 awesome celebrities to fill those squares. Again, you can check it all out at hbgameshow.com. We have our video up there. And then press your luck in the beginning of the show. And intermission in the middle, we've got our raffle coming back. So someone, $2 tickets, we're only selling up to 1,000 tickets. And the winner goes home with $300 cash on top of that. So altogether, we're giving away $350 in each of the Hollywood Squares games. So there's $700. And then $250 in each of the Press Relax. There's another $500. So we're talking $1,200 there, plus another $300. We're giving away $1,500 in cash prizes throughout the night for just walking through the door.
As long as you don't whammy.
As long as you avoid the whammy. And we're lucky to have Max, you know, Max in the morning here at Cruise 102. He's our announcer, and Max is absolutely built to be an announcer for the game show. When you think about it, hey, hi, you know, it's Max is destined for game shows, and he does an awesome job with it. Jason Scott, who used to be on the station way back in the day, he's now down at WWJ. He runs our board for us. His girlfriend is Lauren. She's
for people don't know what a board is. It's the soundboard.
It's the soundboard for it, yes,
so everybody can hear.
Yes, like you are operating right now, so very. Masterfully, I will say, Craig.
I'm standing.
Lauren's back. She's our associate director this year, so she's calling the shots. She's a producer for WWJ in Detroit, so she's a true professional. She's about the only person on our whole crew that actually does this for a living. You know, so she's calling the shots. She's making sure everything's running. Ryan Woodkey backstage. He's our stage director. He's making sure all the movements are. We're pushing out sets. We've got Art Fern with the Tea Time movie set. We've got Karnak set. We've got Unknown Comic. We got all these things moving nonstop. We've got to make sure the mega mortars for the streamers are launched. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. The director's script, I think, this year is right around 28 pages or so, on top of what Max reads and all the other scripts with the questions and stuff. So altogether, the whole show will be right around 130 pages.
And the Art Fern and all of this, these things are done in between when you're changing sets.
Yes.
Which gives you folks an opportunity to go from one game show to the next without everybody sitting there going, let's all go to the lobby, and the lobby is being crushed.
Yeah, so when we start, when way back in 2011, when we came up with the concept for this show, we said, "All right, let's do it like it's a real show. You know, let's have the commercial breaks and let's figure
Brady Bunch thing. Let's put on a show.
let's figure out how to do this. Let's have the commercial breaks so we need to come up with some content, some skits there that make the people laugh. You know, like the one of the first things that we thought about doing was like Johnny Carson, was when it was the commercial for the Alpo dog food." You know, the dog wouldn't eat the dog food, and so Johnny Carson came.
There was that one where it took off, and
yeah.
Johnny became the dog.
Exactly.
Had Johnny there patting him on the head.
And so that was the original concept of what we were going to do between games, that we're going to do these live commercials. And then we came up with the idea to do Art Fern, the Tea Time movie from Johnny Carson, and that's where everything kind of ran from that. So in between the games of Press Your Luck and in between the games of Hollywood Squares, Art Fern and the Tea Time matinee lady, I'll come out and they try and sell a number of different products, and it's pretty much 5 minutes of comedy or attempted comedy. And then at the beginning of the show, we have Karnak the Magnificent. I'm a huge Johnny Carson fan, absolutely huge Johnny Carson fan. I have his 18 disc set at home. I watch Johnny Carson clips all the time.
Do you have someone who plays Johnny Carson?
So Dwight Gasho is our Johnny Carson.
Oh,
and
there
so
you go.
He has that humor. He has that they always said, you know, when a joke didn't work in Johnny Carson's monologue, he'd look at the crowd like he just bought the entire restaurant a round of drinks and no one said thank you. You know, he had that distinct look of, what are you doing? This was a good joke, and Dwight is able to mimic that quite well. So, and I've always had a dream of becoming a game show announcer, but that really stems back to being, you know, I want to be Johnny's sidekick. I want to be Ed McMahon. So that's where the Karnak skit came into play. And so Dwight is Karnak, I'm Ed McMahon, and we have our hermetically sealed envelopes, and we move from there.
You should have Joan Embry on and then bring out a bunch of animals for him.
we haven't entered into the wildlife realm quite yet. I don't think we'll get to that point.
You don't want Wild Kingdom on your stage there?
You know, I love animals, but we have enough variables in the show as it is. I don't think we need to incorporate wild zoo animals into this as well.
I didn't think it'd be wild zoo animals. I just thought they might be a dog or something.
We have had a dog in the show before.
Kind of like Stupid Petrick.
Letterman? Yeah. So back in the day, the timing worked out. We're writing the skits, whatever, and my buddy, just him and his girlfriend at the time, just bought a dog. And they just got a dog. And so we said, let's write him into the show. So we had Parker was in the show. He's a golden lab, and he's about 8 weeks old. And so he came out, and he was sleeping in the whole crowd. And if nothing else, we're going to get sympathy points from the crowd, is what we said. So we've had dogs in the show before, but I don't think we're going to get into the animals quite yet. And every year the show morphs.
Came out and the poor dog is...
The whammies, they always keep me in the dark of what they're going to do. They always have a series of about 10 or 12 skits ready to go so they can come out and they have a different bit to do every time someone hits a whammy. And it's every time I just sit there to shake my head because it's absolutely hilarious. You don't know what's going to happen. They love keeping me in the dark. I like being in the dark because it makes it that much better and I'm able to react in real time. And so there's a lot of variables to the show, but that's what makes it great. Even when the show goes wrong, which, you know, it always does. There's always something that goes wrong.
Sometimes the funniest moments are how people dig themselves out of the hole.
Yeah, and that's we certainly had that last year, and we've certainly had that in our 9 year history, where that's what people love. That's what people remember is, I'll remember that one time where the side projector didn't work and this and that. And those some of my best punchlines I ever had are not written. They're on the fly, which then says, why do I spend so much time writing these things? You know, I could just do it off the cuff and it'd be that much better.
And
no, it wouldn't, but
who produce the show say, no, we're not going to.
Yeah. And when you're the producer and host and creator and everything else, it's a bit, I say, no, we're going to script this as much as possible. But so all the comedy is great. We introduced the Unknown Comic from Gong Show last year. So Darren McNabb.
Doesn't that kind of spoil the fun if you introduce the comic? He's supposed to be unknown.
Well, he's unknown, yes. In the Huron County, he's still unknown. But the unknown comic comes out. He did our warm-up last year. That skit was a comedy of errors in how it came about, actually. It was not planned. Darren McNabb from Pigeon, he's the band director from North Huron, you know, larger-than-life guy. He was in our nine panel for the Hollywood Squares. And so Rob Little was supposed to be in town. He's our comedian. He was in the show the year before. Unfortunately, he had a medical emergency that he wasn't able to make it. He was on his bed at home, couldn't even stand up. You know, it was a nightmare situation for us. And so we're like, all right, we got to figure out how we're going to do a warm-up act for the show. This is at 2:00 the day of. And so we actually broke for lunch, and all of a sudden Darren texted me. He's like, I'm on my way back to Pigeon. I'm going to do the unknown comic for you. I'm going, okay, great. So from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., he came up with a whole bit, 5 to 8 minutes long, and it was a smashing success. That got the crowd roaring just to begin the show. And the unknown comic, I'm a big fan of the Gong Show. It's kind of the, if I were to say what the show's like, it's kind of a combination of the Gong Show, where it's kind of anything goes, combined with David Letterman late night on NBC. Kind of that combination between the two, where it's like, we're very self-deprecating, we have a lot of great jokes, but it's also anything goes, you never know what to expect.
And that's what people want.
Mm-hmm.
They want to come in and we're going to do the same thing again. Why'd you drag me here? It's not going to be that way.
No, everyone leaves with a smile on their face and a prize in their hand. Just like the real show, like we said, we wanted to build this like a real game show. And so when you hear at the end of The Price is Right, you know, contestants not appearing on stage, you know, so that actually happens as well. So we have the prizes, that parting gifts for every single person in the audience. They came in yesterday. My house is now chock full of 10. I'm not going to say what they are, but they're just, there are boxes everywhere in my house right now. I didn't realize what we're giving away this year came in such a large size. So we're a little surprised when the UPS man rolled in with 10 oversized boxes that took them about 20 minutes to unload. So
boy, was he surprised.
Yeah, they love me right now. It's Amazon's my best friend.
He's
right
like,
now.
No, so. Tip? No tip for all of this? What?
So everyone goes home with a prize. The people that are actual contestants but don't win, they go home with parting gifts as well, which are always, they're more gag gifts than anything, but it's just like the real show, you know, turtle wax, you know, all those types of things, spam.
That used to be on the classic game shows.
Yes.
That people, you know, if you watch some of the old reruns that are on a couple of cable channels now, you'll see that type of stuff, if that's what they're giving away.
That's what
they were calling prizes to name.
Yeah, and that's where everything kind of stemmed from, was as kids, we always loved watching game shows. Me and my brothers, we'd sit on Saturday mornings or whenever we're home, and it was the summer or for snow days, whenever. We'd sit there and we'd watch Supermarket Sweep, we'd watch Card Sharks, we'd watch Price is Right, all of those classics, and our imagination started rolling. My mother always said, you know, use your imagination, and so it's her fault this whole show kind of grabbed steam, because we used our imagination and then some for this. And so we loved those games. We said it'd be so cool to do that, and then I kind of fell in love with, I want to be the next Rod Roddy for The Price is Right, and with the shiny jackets and all that. And it just kind of all came together in a perfect storm where the Maritime Festival, their previous fundraiser, kind of they used to do sound-alikes, and it was a salute to the superstars. Well, that firm went out of business, and they said, all right, we have a hole in our budget that we need to fundraise for. What do we want to do? And I'm sitting there. I'm still in college at that point. I'm going, you know, I've been throwing around an idea about doing a full-fledged game show. And I just said it on a whim. They're like, all right, let's do it. And 5 weeks later, we're doing a full-fledged game show. So it's been, we've never looked back since. It's been a heck of a ride, and we're approaching 10 years next year, and we're now moving into the next phase where we're developing our technology for this year so we can do Price is Right in the future. So that's, all eyes are on the Price is Right now.
So that's your goal, your next game goal.
Our end goal has always been, you know, what do we want to do with the game show? Well, we got to do Price is Right. You know, if you ask anyone, what do you want to see? Well, you got to do Price is Right. It's the gold standard of game shows. It's been longest running. Bob Barker, you know, help control the pet population. Just so many iconic things have come from that show. And we said, well, that's got to be our end goal. We got to get to that point. And so, honestly, for about the past 5 years, we've been slowly developing our technology and our systems with that in mind. So that one day we can get to The Price is Right. It takes a ton. The show right now is complicated. We have 52 people on staff.
But the stage set is somewhat static.
Correct.
You put it up, and you'd go.
And then intermission, we swap it out, and we, you know, or we raise the curtain, and there's Hollywood Squares ready to go.
Everyone who's ever seen The Price is Right knows they roll out literally at times, one game after another.
Yeah, so we're talking, with this show, we have two major sets. With The Price is Right, we have seven. So you have the six games, and then you have the Showcase Showdown with the wheel. So you're talking
which
seven different sets.
Takes three doors to open up to show all the prizes.
And that's a great lead in there, because that's the other thing we acknowledge is, on top of building seven sets, we also need to build an infrastructure so we can have multiple doors, not just one curtain. So we need to be able to have the ability to push these things in and push them out, but also fit through the door of the theater. So you don't want to build a boat in a basement type thing. We've run into that before. And so we have to have an entire infrastructure for the three different doors on top of the stage. So it's going to be a true undertaking. I guess realistically we're maybe 2 years still out from that, maybe three even, because it just takes so much to get to that point. But our technology is getting to that point where we have the coding, we have the contestant stands built already. We have the four there. We only use three right now, but we built a fourth with that in mind. And all of the computer systems are built so that we are able to input all the values, all their bids, everything, so that it all shows up on the screens and it just rolls from there. So I'd say we're about 60% of the way there to make sure to be able to do prices right, but we're still pushing that way.
And one of the other factors is not just the sets, but the prizes tend to be bigger.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have this huge thing open up and there's a little toaster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They tend to try to be grandiose, and I don't know how you will get away with that. You're going to have to work that out, because you can't go, here's a brand new Buick. You know, it's like, no, you can't get that through the side door. This and the stage won't hold it.
Well, that's the other thing about this is, you know, so I'm going to have to call in pretty much every favor I have and then some to pull that show off as far as prizes go, because it's sponsor-based as it is right now, and all that money goes to the Maritime Festival historically. We're excited this year that we're able to add to the Harbor Beach Community Theater to that list as well. So a portion of the proceeds will go to the Harbor Beach Community Theater. The rest will go to the Maritime Festival. Every single cent that we raise from ticket sales, everything in this show, all goes to nonprofit organizations. We do not profit 1 cent into this. So it takes a lot of investment on our part, but we're excited to do it. We're happy to do it. It's fun. Our whole crew has a blast. But you're absolutely right as far as those prices go for Price is Right. There is a ton. This, we're talking cruises. We're talking cars. You know, when you think about Price is Right, that's what you want to see.
But cruises are a picture.
Well, yes.
We're talking, here's
an actual
car. Here's a refrigerator. Here's a refrigerator.
Yeah. Well, the good news is we've done some measuring already, but a Geo Tracker or a Chevy Trax will fit through the doors at the theater. So there is potentially a capability to get a car on the stage. So we have measured that out already. But if we're going to do Price is Right, we're going to do it.
Hold it.
Oh, it can. No, we've done that as well. We've talked about rebuilding the stage, actually, so we can utilize the pit in the future, too. But if we're going to do the Price is Right in the future, we're going to do it all the way. We're going to do cruises. We're going to do trips. We're going to do cars. We're going to have to have all of those people. And so it's going to take a whole nother level of sponsorship to make sure that show's possible, because we're probably going to give away, I would say, more than $5,000 worth of prizes if we do that show. So it's going to be quite the undertaking when we get to that point.
Then it's not going to be a new car.
Yeah. Well, yes, $5,000 in purchasing prizes and then everything else that we're able to give away.
Lease,
yes. Yeah. So we've talked about doing a one-year lease,
you know,
and that might be possible.
That would be a little more in your realm of reality.
I've always wanted to buy a 1975 Cadillac convertible, which I think would just be awesome to give away. But
they now cost more than the new ones.
Exactly. So there's a lot of variables. The end goal has always been Price is Right. And then beyond that, so then, all right, what after the Price is Right? Are we done? You know, I've made some agreements that, you know, the show's starting to not wind down, but I'm starting to see, we're now starting to see the horizon. And we're approaching that way, so we want to finish strong.
Well, game shows kind of hit their peak.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and now they're a little less, and they're takeoffs of what's already been done, as opposed to new and blockbusters. I mean, you've got, you know, Who Wants to Be a Thousandaire or something.
Yeah.
You know, and you want to do that type of thing. But, I mean, again, these are high-tech and a lot of background work to get them going.
And that's what's made the show so successful, in my opinion, is we're able to keep it fresh all the time. So we started out with $100,000 pyramid and Minute to Win It. That's really the only modern day game show we've done is Minute to Win It, which is really just Beat the Clock from back in the day. And then so we went $100,000 pyramid, we went to Family Feud, then Wheel of Fortune, Card Sharks. Wheel of Fortune, we only did 1 year. Password Plus, we only did 1 year. They were great. They worked well. The wheel we built too well, so it just never stopped spinning.
you don't lube it then.
Yeah, so we built it too well for that. And Password was a great hit, but what drove me nuts on stage is I love a hostile crowd. I love a crowd that's shouting and yelling and interacting nonstop.
And
but
you can't do
with
that.
Password, you have to be deathly silent. It's like playing Jeopardy. And so it drove me nuts. I was making jokes. The crowd was laughing or, you know, chuckling, but they couldn't exclaim that. I couldn't hear that, so it drove me nuts. And so we have Password, we played Password Plus, and then we introduced Press Your Luck after that, and then Hollywood Squares. Match Game, of course, was a big hit, too. So we're able to change up the games enough so it always stays fresh, and the good thing is we don't need to create a new show that's going to be riveting. We can steal the old shows and redo it ourselves, so we can take kind of the best hits of what's worked in the past 40 years and approach it to throw it on a stage at Harbor Beach.
Well, and you can pick it at its peak.
Yes.
You did that with Match Game.
Yes,
Match
absolutely.
Match Game was in the 50s, and it was more of a...
Oh, it's very mundane, yeah.
You know, here's a match, and you get a match. Then when it started going to the Gene Rayburn area, and
it was lightning in a bottle at that point.
It changed around, and it got a little more zazz.
Yeah, and so that's what makes the show so fun to do, is we're able to take those great moments and we're able to put them all together on stage at once. And that's even to the point where we're taking the best hits of Johnny Carson, you know, we're taking those great skits and those great characters and we're throwing them all on stage. You know, even Gong Show, Gene the Dancing Machine, you know, he was a big hit, so we have Bob Behnke come out and he does that for us. And so there's a lot of people involved in this show that make it possible, and we're able to take those greatest hits from everything else and put it into a big mixing drum in what comes out as the Harbor Beach Game Show series. And tickets go on sale tonight. It's hard to believe.
Well, it rolls around every year.
Just like that. Imagine that, yeah.
If you did it afterwards, nobody'd show up.
Yeah. And so for those, what I realize, though, Craig, is there's a lot of people in this county that have never been in the Harbor Beach Community Theater. It's a magnificent theater. It's built in 1927.
It's beautiful on the inside. It's like a classic old theater that you know, it's not sterile.
No, not by any means. The architecture inside is beautiful. The chandeliers are the gold ornate.
They made them acoustically proper.
So that
you don't have to have, you know, 500 speakers on the side so everybody can hear. They're designed that as long as the people speak up a bit, you're pretty good at hearing.
Oh, and that was last year. So the show started, and it was a comedy of errors last year. Just anything, rehearsal went great, and then the show started, and anything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. We think it was Randy Rapson, our former announcer, who unfortunately has passed away, but I think he was playing a joke on us to start the show. He always loved when things went wrong.
Blame the whammy.
My microphone didn't work. The projector stopped working. All these things stopped working. But so I'm on stage, 450 people in this massive theater, and I'm on stage, but everyone is able to still hear me even without a microphone. So that's the acoustics in the place are unbelievable. The atmosphere is great. There's not a bad seat in the house. Even if you're on the very top row in the balcony behind the mezzanine, way up in the balcony, top row in the corner, you can still see the entire stage. You can still see everything that's going on. We have our secondary projection screens now, so you're able to see the close-ups of our contestants and celebrities. It's all right there. We've really kept the audience in mind so that there's no bad seat in the theater. In a venue like the Harbor Beach Community Theater, makes it very difficult to even approach a bad seat in that place.
They don't yodel at the top of the balcony there?
Well, maybe when we play Cliffhanger in The Price is Right, but not until that moment.
Not
but
until that moment.
It's a lot of fun. It's amazing to see. It's great to see a theater like that being utilized for what it's built to be. It was built to be a playhouse. Built in 1927, talkies weren't even a thing yet. And so it was...
Well, that's why you had the pit.
That's why we have the pit,
that's
yeah.
That's where the organ was that accompanied the theater projection, and they played along to what was being seen up there.
And that's my next project at that theater, is I want to fundraise whatever it takes to put an organ back into that theater. You know, we have a lot of capabilities now with digital organs and from the Allen Organ Company over in Grand Rapids to get a full theater organ in the mix, kind of like what they did at the Little Caesars Arena with the organ there for the Red Wings games. Same concept. We can do it in Harbor Beach. We have the pit where even to the point where it'd be able to be raised up and then lowered, you know, when we want to play it. So that's the next project at the Harbor Beach Community Theater, in my opinion. That's what I want to fundraise for.
And you think we're going to then have, you know, classic vintage movie nights?
Maybe I would love it.
Where they would raise somebody up playing the organ at the beginning, and then we go down and we see Mary Pickford or whoever, you know, or Charlie Chaplin or something.
I think that would be so cool, you know, even if we did it once a year, to have a silent film with the live organ. I think that'd just be so awesome.
A lot of people, even your age, and that, you know, black and white television was as close as they ever got to the old days of silent movies. I mean, you know, even today now the kids don't even know what black and white is. Well, it's like, you know, you watched what?
The next generation doesn't even know what 35mm film looks like. You know, they only know digital movies, you know. And so up in the very top of the theater is the projection room, and that I love going to that room because on one side, there was two just old-fashioned projectors there that we used up until 2012, I do believe, when the theater went digital. And so we took one of those out, and then we had to put it in the big digital projector. So side by side in the projection room at the theater is the brand new digital projector, and right next to it is the old 35mm projector. And it's it's such a cool juxtaposition to see that next to each other. And we try and take that mentality where it's the best of the old era of everything and then combine it with the best technology of today so we can have the best product. And that's a good metaphor that I just came up with on the spot of what the Harvey Game Show series is.
And people don't realize in the old theaters, you know, about changing reels, you know, everything is today is one big long thing.
Yeah.
But there was an art form.
Oh, yeah.
So there wasn't a disruption in the movie that when one reel ended, the other started, and it just picked up.
Yeah, and
those were people who had talent.
Those instructions are still on the wall up there.
Are they?
And you know, when you see two rings in the corner, that means start it. When it says three rings, you know, fire it. You know, all that stuff. And I'm sitting there going, just mentally playing it through my head. I don't even know how I'd do that. Like, I mean, everything is just, you know, on my mark. You know, one little second, even a half second, you're off. You know, and so it's unbelievable what the technology was. That really was started in the late 20s, was used up until just a few years ago.
A lot of times they had a, you know, go fade to black segue.
Oh, yeah.
There. That would do it. It'd give you a little bit of a give, but
still,
no,
unbelievable.
I know there was an old Columbo thing where he is in there and they were
putting
a coin in there to drop off to warn the guy you need to get over there pretty quick. So when you heard the coin drop, you knew you had to get over there to change that reel. You didn't. People in the audience are going, hey, what's going on?
Yeah. And Columbo, what a classic show there. And so every year when we talk about what we're going to do for the next year, we always kind of take a 35,000 feet view of what we want to do in the future. And so taking the fun aspects of Columbo, you know, the guy in the trench coat, that could be incorporated in the show. You don't know what it's going to look like. And so
he's not going to come out on stage, you know, my wife would just love this set.
That'd be a good way of doing it. That'd be a great way of doing it. And I think down the road, you know, it might morph into more of a stage show, in the fact that it's like Gong Show, or it's a talent show, or it's Prairie Home Companion, you know,
classic
a lot of different
sitcoms.
Things. Yeah.
Just do a scene from, you know, classic sitcoms. Have local people playing the Fonz or whatever.
Oh, wow, yeah. So there's the beauty of the Harbor Beach Game Show series is we call it a game show series because it changes, and we have those abilities and capabilities to morph it into whatever is going to work the best for our audience. And so we're so thankful for all the people who have supported the Harbor Beach Game Show series over the years. It's the first year we were blown away when nearly 200 people walked through our doors. That was just unheard of. I mean, the whole main floor was full. I thought 75 people were going to show up. You know, it's this kind of fun little game show thing. I don't know.
And you thought you were an Avenger.
Yeah. We sold $1 billion in ticket sales in the one night. Yeah. But and so then it just started to grow and grow, and all of a sudden the main floor is full. Then the mezzanine was full. Now the balcony is full, and now every single seat is full. And when people
and you've got the fire chief going, no more.
Oh yeah, fire marshals all over us always. But it's just unbelievable to see the progression of the show. It's truly humbling of what everyone does for the show. Yeah, I get all the credit. Yeah, I'm the host. I'm the creator. Whatever. But it really takes all 52 people to do their task and bring their talents to the table to make this happen, even down to the photographers, the videographers that we use for the promotion of the next year's show. It all comes together. No one gets paid on this show. It's everyone's there on their own time. They're giving up a weekend to do this. You know, the pre-production means Friday night. we set up the sets start going up on Wednesday night. You know, on Thursday we rig the theater. Friday we do audio. We have a pre-production meeting Friday night, rehearsal Saturday morning, show Saturday night, and then tear down Sunday. It's a huge commitment, and all these people donate their time and say, you know what, Clark, I'm clearing my schedule. It's Mother's Day weekend, but I'll be there. It's really amazing to see all those people come out and come together for a good cause and to put on a great product and so just a great cultural event in Harbor Beach for one night only, and it's so much fun.
Well, and people just enjoy it. It's the local flavor. It's the local community they're supporting. It just all folds into all of that, like a good recipe does.
Amen to that. And so if I were to end on anything, you know, hbgameshow.com, you'll be able to see photos, videos, meet the production team. That's a new tab on there. So
if you Google Harbor Beach Game Show, it will probably take you there.
Yep.
So if you don't remember that, just Harbor Beach Game Show, Google it. And the tickets will be available as of 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock tonight, hbgameshow.com.
First come, first served, and you said they could pick kind of the section.
You can reserve your section, not your actual individual seat. But the main floor sold out in less than 2 hours last year. So they went fast last year, and we expect nothing less this year.
Thanks for being with us. Hope you get a good turnout. Let us know how things go.
Absolutely, Craig. Thank you so much.
Our guest today on the program is the MC of the Harbor Beach Game Show, Clark Ramsey. The game show is coming up Mother's Day. It is on a Saturday.
Yes, Saturday night.
And that's Mother's Day weekend.
Yes, Mother's Day weekend this year. It's always the second Saturday of May is when we do it. So.
And starts about what time?
The show starts at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6.
And usually runs, I think you say, to about 9:30.
About 2 hours and 20 minutes with an intermission in there. So right around 2.5 hours.
Plenty of fun, lots of laughs, and good for the community, and good for your chuckle meter.
Absolutely. Thanks, Craig, for having me.
Thanks for being with us. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up, we'll check all the latest in the news.